sometimes I wake up and I'm like, okay, I have to stop this. There is nothing for me here. I'm very bad at it. I'm the worst. And deep down, I don't know why, I believe in my work. It's kind of weird and crazy.
Was mit Kunst? Ein Podcast von und mit Johann König.
Today's guest is Clidia Fourniot, a French painter who works non-representational, who just opened an absolutely magnificent show here at König Galerie St. Agnes. But let's listen from her directly. Welcome, Clidia.
Thank you.
Clidia, we opened your exhibition and the title was 10 Turns. So what is this referring to?
So for this particular body of work, I took a special studio, bigger than my other studio. Mm-hmm. And I had four walls. So I disposed my blank canvases on the four walls and I was doing kind of turn of my studio with a color and kind of putting a dot or mark, kind of baptizing the painting one after the other. So this is why I was doing kind of a turn of the studio.
There were 10 turns.
Yeah, I was doing kind of a round cycle. With this title, I wanted to speak about the relationship with the process in my work, and this is why I wanted to speak on how I work. And this is why I choose the title. And also, the circle have a big symbolism. You know, there is no end, no beginning. It's kind of an infinite movement. And it's also about progression, process, you know, always like kind of this movement forward. So.
Okay. And how is it for you? Because I visited you in your studio in Paris, mm-hmm, about a year ago called
Push,
right? And that's right. Like an artist collective.
Exactly, yeah.
So how is it to have a separate space to create new work? Because it's probably quite a charged space you've been active with. How is it then to assimilate to a new space?
I mean, for me, it wasn't so hard because, I'm a sociable person, but I do like when I can isolate myself to work. So I'm kind of a wild person. I need really to focus when I work. So I come early in my studio and I'm not really kind of, I don't know, but I'm not really a fun person when I work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's from 6 at night and that's it every day. So, you know, it wasn't that hard for me to be alone in that space. Maybe it was the opposite. I was happy to have my own big space, but I'm happy to go back to Push as well.
Yeah. So, yeah. And tell me, when did you understood that there's a possibility of becoming an artist? Because your parents are university professors.
Yeah, and, exactly.
And there was no art practitioner.
There is actually, my aunt is a sculptor. Mm-hmm. So she's
professional sculptor.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. She's doing bronze. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she's a real accomplished artist. She was always a really role model for me. But I don't really remember when I understood that it was like possible to do it, but my parents been really open, you know. We always talked about anything at house, art, history, politics. So, they never say to us, okay, you have to be a banker or you have to be a doctor. It always, you know, you have to be happy. So,
yeah.
And actually my brother is in a movie, mm-hmm, and my sister is a musician. So yeah,
we all became,
yes,
artists.
Yes.
And you traveled around, right? You didn't only grow up in France, but in other
I traveled in many countries, and I lived in Uzbekistan for 3 years. I was little, but my father had an opportunity to run a research center there. So all the family went there.
When you think back now, when do you, because you have a very particular language, which I think is quite difficult to create. I think your work is very re-recognizable. So you work with an intensive color palette and the paintings are sort of build objects. They are not standard stretchers. They're more sort of, they reach more into the space. They are, I would say, like 10 centimeters deep.
Exactly.
What I think is so interesting about your work is that you have this very intensive color palette, but at the same time, they're very subtle in their presence, which I find so rare, because often you have, when you use these intensive colors, they are sort of loud and take the space, you know?
Mm.
And here, they're still very strong colors, but still
quiet,
sort of holding back or shy, you know,
oh.
if there would be a character to a painting.
Yes, of
and,
course.
And then you use oil, right?
I use mostly resin.
Yeah.
Polyurethane resin. I use also acrylic, different pigments, dry pigments that I mixed. I use also a mixture with mica, which is a rock that is on a different industrial materials as well as makeup. There is mica everywhere, actually, in like a highlighter, you know, just different makeup stuff. So, and my resin is actually a boat resin. It's a Yachtlack in German, I guess.
Yachtlack, yeah, for boating to
exactly,
cover the boat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's very strong. And it's industrial. So I had to really kind of...
you need to wear a mask then too, no?
Yes, I wear big equipment.
Yeah.
So it's very physical work.
Yeah.
There is my entire body in the work. Yeah, it's my entire body and movement and action.
For all elements. Like, because what you mentioned, the polyurethane, these are the parts which reflect.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Which have this shiny surface.
Yeah, exactly. And the mica also, the polyurethane gives us a mirror impression.
Yeah.
And mica is more like naked, like a shell.
Ah, okay.
From the ocean.
Yeah.
You know? So it's there is kind of this game with light, of course, that I like. And of course, also with the position of the viewer. Because, you know, you don't have the same impression of the image as you turn around
when
the
you move.
Painting,
yeah.
When you move. And in that sense, my painting are maybe sometimes closer to sculpture, because you can kind of turn around.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not like a full circle.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I like that aspect. Yeah.
But you need to wear the full gear with all elements, also when you use acrylic.
No. I don't use like every day my equipment. Mm-hmm. It's just when I do resin. But I can go to the studio and just use my acrylic and wear just no equipment. It depends.
And what's interesting is that your work so far, most of them or all of them, have this aura on the edges, and then almost like a painting frame on the edges,
but contour,
then it goes also beyond, like it
exactly,
goes into onto the frame. So that's why it's important that the frame is so deep, because sort of the painting continues on the sides of it.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that I wanted to consider the painting as an object, as I said, and not only to consider the dimension of the surface that we have in front of us, but also maybe the side of the painting. I mean, a painting is an object, and it exists in the space and in the wall. And I wanted you really to emphasize it with that line that is here on all my paintings, and it's kind of a signature now, I guess, of my painting. And also these lines at the very beginning, they were kind of useful for me. I was using them for a particular matter, and they were cuttering, actually. You know, I was pouring my material, and I was
like working. A basin. You needed like a swimming pool to hold it.
Ah, yes, it was the thing that they were that hold my material in the surface. And then I wanted to use more brushes and less the pouring action. I mean, those edges weren't that useful anymore. But I wanted to keep them, to still speak about that relationship with the space and dimension that I was talking about. Like, we have a different dimension, like the surface and the side.
Yeah, I understand. But so it sort of happened out of a coincidence, which you then noticed. Because interesting is that even though it's non-representational abstract paintings, you clearly see that they are super controlled. right?
Yeah.
You are very specific. You see the brushes, you see.
Yeah.
It's a completely sort of thought through. There's not so much to the coincidence, no?
I mean, there is coincidence, but now as I use the material for almost 6 years, and, you know, I kind of knew the reaction and stuff, so now I kind of know what will happen with my material. But I still love when a painting has to kind of teach me something. I want to learn about the painting, I guess. And I mean, yeah, it's both. It's me controlling the material and also the material controlling me, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But did you aim for a signature or did the signature come to you?
No, it came to me.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because that I find so interesting in painting. I mean, everything has been painted. That
yeah.
you managed somehow to have sort of an easy,
yeah.
you know, consistent signature, which makes your work so recognizable in this... like standing on giants past painting.
Yeah, of course, know? History of painting.
Yeah.
No, I guess I wanted at the opposite to escape from the fact that I want to find a signature. At the opposite, I want to, I believe that I want to be free and to allow myself to maybe do this painting like this year, but maybe next year I will do something else.
Mm-hmm,
I
mm-hmm.
don't want to be kind of
repetitive.
Mm-hmm. No.
And then you use, as mentioned before, you build these frames and then you also, you don't use classical linen,
mm-hmm.
but you find diverse fabrics.
Yes, exactly.
Why that?
Actually, it was very by coincidence,
mm-hmm.
Because my research were on the body, on the image of the viewer that you know sees him on the surface. So I were talking about body, and then I was using like a classic material, and I felt somehow interesting to maybe use something that could really embodied
yeah.
The body.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fabric that is supposed to be on the skin, like to cover the skin, like clothing
mm-hmm. like
or furniture.
Like second skin, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's somehow a way to speak also about body. It's not in a naturalistic way, but it's also a way to speak about yeah the skin, the body, the movement.
The cover. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the cover, and also about our behavior as a human being, because I think that it's a big part in our world, the clothing industry.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm always trying to find new materials and a new textile and fabric, and so sometimes I use a fabric that doesn't work with my, you know, I have to like prepare them for 10 times.
And make tests.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because
so.
Denim works or linen, but probably some Gore-Tex,
no, it's
high-tech
exactly.
Fabric doesn't work.
No, sometimes I want them to work, but it's kind of hard to do. And yeah.
And I mean, it's interesting that you make it yourself somehow so complicated, because it's challenging for you to do this, no? I mean, you can order
yes.
You can order already primed and stretched canvases.
No, I cannot do that. I don't like it when it's already primed.
But you tried. You started painting
no,
on a...
No, I did not try. I always
oh, you never did?
No, I don't like it. Uh-huh. I wanted to... I'm a little bit psychorigid, so
yeah.
I like when it's very, I mean, in my way kind of thing. So no, at the beginning, I learned how to put, I don't know how to say, but to put a canvas on a frame.
Mm-hmm.
I learned from a friend in Beaux-Arts de Paris.
Yeah.
And now I don't do by myself. It's my boyfriend that does it for me.
Yeah.
And my father-in-law, actually.
So it's like the extra hurdle or the challenge is an important part?
Yeah, it is actually because of my, I guess, condition, body
yeah.
condition. Yeah, I'm a very, I love challenge.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm a person that when I have a challenge in front of me, I want to go. Yeah, because I had a disease
yeah.
when I was 15 years
mm-hmm.
old, and I lost my 2 feet. I had like plastic feet and also my fingers. So I, of course, my practice is difficult for me because you know, the scales are big, the equipment is kind of heavy, the standing up position for me is not easy. Mm-hmm, so but
I also think the tension, how you the canvas on the on the stretcher is very tense.
Everything
everything
is it's challenging. But I mean, I wanted to still do it, and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that what makes a real artist, no? I thought about becoming an artist too, but there was not enough urge to do it, no? Because I think that's it. So why I have so much respect for artists, because you have to do something which is sort of a marathon,
and
even before you get there, to find your own language.
Yeah,
you know, nothing from outside, not about like having success or so, just to be confident in and satisfied with what you do.
Yeah, but once so
you but once you achieve that, then you're still far away from anywhere, because only if you achieved what you, where you say, okay, now I found the path I'm working on, and I challenge myself, I'm getting better and better.
Yes.
If there's no one else to look at it, you know, it's even more frustrating. And then
of
you continue. You need to continue to hold on to it.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It's like a constant fight, no?
Yes, it's a weird mix between a lot of doubt, because I think I'm a person that doubts a lot. So it's a mix between this and a big confidence deep inside. A big confidence in the work. It's really weird. Like sometimes I wake up and I'm like, okay, I have to stop this. There is nothing for me here. I'm very bad at it. I'm the worst. and deep down, I don't know why I believe in my work. It's kind of weird and crazy and schizophrenic. So I think that you just have to really believe in, and also to find some great and really like sharing and positive people that really love and want to support you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to have like plenty, just couple.
Couple is enough, yeah.
I had the chance to meet a couple of them, really like, you know, that loves my work and support, so.
Yeah, I had the same experience when I opened my gallery.
Mm-hmm.
The day after, I was so depressed that I thought, how the hell could I bring myself into such a position? And if I wouldn't have had a, I don't know, 5-year lease and so many obligations, you know, it's good if you at least reach a certain level that you can't get out of it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's no plan B.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You cannot do anything else.
But you said earlier, so you're totally open to where this is going. So you said, as you said, maybe next year it's going to be different.
I want to allow myself to not be kind of close.
Leave the recipe.
Yes,
yeah.
I don't want to do something that that works like that sell or whatever. It's not really my biggest challenge. I want to just research and progress and really ask myself some question about painting, but so maybe that would lead me to another path, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think that I would draw Barbies, but
yeah, or be
maybe.
Figurative, yeah.
And maybe.
You saw the Roscoe show in Paris?
Not yet.
Yeah.
No, I've been only working.
I must say, I was very impressed how easygoing you took that massive space.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, it's a big space.
It's a massive space.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, there have been spectacular shows, you know, and it's like, somehow shows are always compared to other shows.
I try to avoid to compare myself, and I try to avoid to look too much to other show.
Mm-hmm.
I really try to focus on what I wanted to do right now. Yeah, and what I wanted to do deep down, you know, for this exhibition in my present right now. So.
And where do you think this confidence comes from? Because I was very impressed. We opened the show Tuesday night. You arrived Sunday late afternoon.
Mm.
We moved a little bit the paintings back and forth. Then the light usually is sort of full on spot. You notice that's not really doing the paintings justice because its reflection is not working. We changed it, boom, finish. Because, I mean, I've seen artists who had, I don't know, major museum shows doubting and changing and changing, and the art handlers were almost falling down the because rehanging, and because it's interesting, you have a mix of very small paintings, mm-hmm. almost like A4 size, mm-hmm. which are particularly interesting because they have the same depth as the big ones. It's also rare that I ever seen a green painting I like, because I think green is like the most impossible paint color you use for.
And it's the worst green. I mean, I wanted to took like green really like not likable.
Yeah, it's like a Shrek, not even, more like a Hulk green, no?
That's the worst green ever.
Yeah.
Yes.
So where's the confidence coming from too? That you...
It's funny because I am so not a confident person. No, but I don't know. It's also because I worked a lot for this show, mm-hmm. and I knew somehow what I wanted to do. I thought a lot about it. I did sketches. I tried different installing proposal, mm-hmm. and I wanted for this show to really kind of rely on me, mm-hmm. Which I didn't do for the other show. I was more like listening to other people, for mm-hmm. example, and here I wanted to kind of do it by myself, and saying to myself, okay, you can do it. Maybe you can also have like sometimes right. Maybe you know
maybe
your
you
work.
Make mistakes too.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I allowed myself to just go, and actually for this body of work, I felt a big liberty. And I felt really happy to just work, and maybe it was because I was pregnant.
When you started, right?
When I started.
So between the big working on the show mm. and the realization you got a baby.
Yes,
which
exactly.
Which is also pretty amazing, yeah.
Yes, I had the most amazing baby, yeah. It was really kind of a flying period of time. I was very happy and also happy to have this opportunity to have this show and to show my work in Berlin, to have another public as well.
But you also reacted to the space, at least that's my feeling. Mm. No, that you, because the space is a former church with a sort of not really closed edges, it's more, it's a stucco wall, and these, and it's interesting, you have one painting which you hung a little bit lower, mm-hmm. which is almost like a gate, and then
exactly.
you see that because of the depths of the painting, it sort of reaches over the floor, which brings out this depth, and I think you somehow see it, and you recognize it with this work, and then you start to look at the other mm-hmm. Depths of it as well. And I had the feeling that these were all very precise reactions to the space. Do you think that a key is also to be sort of disciplined and precise and focused, like pre-focused on, so it felt like it was all in that moment, but it was a planning ahead. So you spent a lot of thought on how to do it before.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought about it, but yes, I mean, I when I saw the space, I wanted to react with this major height, and I wanted something at the contrary, not to hang the paintings too high, but I wanted something really rooted in the ground to, mm-hmm. to have this like kind of terrestre impression, like from the ground, from the to have this to see the painting from the floor, mm-hmm. And to have this reaction with this massive space. I don't know.
Yeah, very erratic, and but you also look at a lot of painting, like mm-hmm. Graupner and
yes, I try Rodko to
and so on.
Yes, I mean, it's not that I try, it's just I'm interested in a lot of different, actually, very different period of time or different artists. And for example, I really, like a big reference for me, it's Joe Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah, interesting.
Yeah. And
because that doesn't really, I mean, not on the first glance.
Not necessarily. When I really understood his work and went to a couple of his show and stuff, I really understood that this kind of painting was possible, actually. You know, it was kind of, it was possible to speak about process, to really speak about gesture and in our days, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought it was amazing to and rare to have this kind of very precise and great painter today.
So, for example, you're more impressed by the present than by...
No, also by the painting in itself.
Yeah.
But when I discovered that painter, I was impressed that it existed and he was not famous, but successful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that people were here to see the painting, also, that to appreciate this painting.
Mm-hmm. But then it's more interesting to see these results out of the present than, I don't know, works from the 50s.
I mean, no, you mean from abstract American painters?
Yeah, for example, or...
Yeah, I mean, I also was really... I mean, I looked to them as well, but... I mean, the contemporary scene, American scene, or actually French scene, is very strong, so there is many inspirational sources. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you mentioned that you are want to focus on white paintings next?
Yes, I would. Yeah, I want to kind of calm down a little bit the colors, maybe. I mean, I'm saying that, but maybe it won't, you know, I'm always...
Calm, actually, that was a word I was looking for
calm,
earlier on.
Yes.
You know, that they are still
intense,
but calm too, you know, which I think is interesting that you have these extreme green, but still it's very calm.
Yes,
that was contemplating
my,
painting, you know?
That was really tricky to achieve, and I was aiming this particular. I was aiming to do something. I mean, to be really energetic and dynamic and kind of greedy about painting, but also I wanted to find this very calm attitude that I had also during this period of time. So. Mm-hmm. This is was really important for me.
You need to be in a certain mood to paint?
No, I don't need. I mean, I can paint if I'm sad, but that won't be necessarily a good painting, I guess. No, but the thing.
But because you said you have a real working discipline, right? Like sort of 9 to 5 in the studio.
Yes, I'm like very boring person.
Yeah.
And also because I have children, so, you know, I want to be home. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, for me, it's really like...
But then you don't have a show planned, or you just do these paintings and then see where they go. And maybe it works out and maybe not, right? The white paintings.
Ah, the white paintings. Yeah. No, I want to do them just to explore.
Yeah.
I don't want to... I'm not like focusing on any show. I just want to do for my own work.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, thank you so much, Clelia.
Thank you for the
taking
invitation.
Us and share with us how you work, give us some insight. And congratulations again to your show. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jan.
Was mit Kunst? Ein Podcast von und mit Johann König.